The other problem that I have with it is it's what I call a digital asset. So you look at your statement, you go, okay, yeah, I've got 120,000 in superannuation. Oh, yeah, it's in Vanguard, BlackRock. What does that mean? Is that 120,000 sitting in a nice little, you know, safe deposit vault that you can go and get it when you retire? No. Yeah. It's a digital number on a digital screen that goes up and down daily. And if the market crashes, it's gone.
Mm.
And in terms of the market crash, there's a lot of experts, not just myself, but really, really important experts, particularly from the US, are saying that we're heading into the biggest crash in human history. The biggest one was in the 1920s, where the market crashed 80%, and they're saying it's going to be bigger than that. So, yeah, all in all, if you want to protect your wealth, get it out of that system.
Welcome to the Parents with Questions podcast. This is the show where we explore how to help parents, kids and families thrive in the midst of great change and global uncertainty. My name's Adam Gibson. And as a parent, I've got a lot of questions right now about how we raise healthy, happy, uncoercible, super conscious kids, given the world's completely different to how we thought it was even 3 years ago. This is a podcast to educate, inspire and empower all of us as parents to join us as we ask the big questions, talk to leading experts and empower ourselves along the way to do the best job we possibly can for the people we love the most. You're here on purpose as their parent. You're raising dragon slayers in a time when they're actual dragons. We're not here to tell you what to do, but we'll offer pathways forward. Welcome to the Parents with Questions podcast. G'day everybody, this is Adam Gibson from Parents with Questions, joined today by Catherine Smith, or otherwise known as Cass. We'll go by maybe both of those today, but Cass has joined me here as the founder of Freedom Financial Solutions. And we're going to dive into, I guess, some of the financial opinions and realities and what we can do about that in the current economic climate as families, as mums and dads, as parents, you know, some strategies we can adopt in order to not only safeguard ourselves, but also, you know, plan ahead for the future and protect what we have built for our kids and so on. So, Cass, look, thanks for joining me today. It's been nice to connect again.
Yes. Thanks for having me on, Adam.
Just probably a good starting point is just to run through your endless list of qualifications, just so we know sort of where you're coming from in terms of, you know, your credentials. Can you just run through that for us quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long story, but I'll try and keep it short. Basically, I started off doing an accounting degree and then wanted to master in that, so became master in tax law. And then moved on to do financial planning, the associate diploma, and then the advanced diploma. Then moved on to do mortgage broking, so I did my diploma of mortgage finance. Then I was still not content with, I didn't know enough yet, so I did a diploma of property and became a real estate agent and a property advisor. So to sum it all up, I've been an accountant and a tax expert for 30 years, a mortgage broker and a property agent and a property advisor for 25 years and a financial planner for 25 years. So all of that was basically all things financial under one roof or in one head. So you could come to me about everything from property to mortgages to shares to derivatives to trading to tax to company structures to business, everything. And that's what I did for like 20 years after leaving the tax department, and absolutely loved it. And I helped people build wealth the traditional way. They're building property portfolios, building share portfolios, building businesses, everything to do with wealth. And then, of course, this pandemic hit and it changed everything for me. So as a lot of us, we were locked down, we were isolated. So I was running a very large business in Canberra. All of my staff were at home or off work. And I'd go to my office, even though I wasn't technically allowed to go to my office. But I'd go there and I'd sit in my big office with all the empty desks and just think about what the hell's going on to the economy. You know, I was just sitting there thinking, well, hang on a sec. If China or Shanghai are completely locked down and if the ships are not going anywhere and people are not picking the fruit and people are not canning the fruit and people are not delivering the fruit and the food and the steel and the metal and the windows, what the hell's going to happen in 1 or 2 years' time? Mm. I just started thinking about the supply chain and how we get our food and how we get our materials. Most of our materials comes from overseas. And if those countries are in lockdown, how's the building industry going to be affected? How's the property market going to be affected? Just started thinking about all these things and I could just see that we had absolute devastation heading towards the whole world. I used to sell a lot of investment properties, new house and land builds. Mm-hmm. I pulled out of those because I could just see the building industry going into so much trouble, and they have. There's builders going bankrupt almost every week. So a lot of the house and land packages aren't coming to completion because the builders are running out of supplies. So I stopped selling property. I started seeing that they were increasing the interest rates, so I stopped recommending people borrow. Everything that I'd done for the past 20 years was I wasn't doing anymore. I was thinking, well, how can people build wealth now? And I've always had a strong opinion on wealth is not just about money. Wealth is about balance. It's about health. It's about family. It's about having enough money to provide. It's not about being multimillionaire and having big mansions. Wealth is different to every single person. Some people, like myself, just want a caravan in the woods. Some people want mansions. So wealth is whatever it is that you want to achieve. But I'm starting to look ahead and going, well, what can people do to be wealthy now? And started realizing that wealthy now will be surviving. It will be having a roof over your head. It will be having food to eat and basically keeping your family safe from what's happening in the world at the moment. So that's just my whole life changed. I set up Freedom Financial Solutions, which was specifically to advise people on the sort of, I guess, the new way of wealth, what's happening right now. When people want to build share portfolios, I say, go see a financial planner. When people want to borrow $2 million to buy a luxury mansion, I say, go see someone else. Because it's not about that anymore. It's about how we can come together. And then this is why you and I connected, Adam. Oh, we also connected over the football players getting the vaccine, if you remember way back to the beginning.
I do remember.
My poor young son who plays Raiders, and you were actively against the vaccines in relation to sports, and we connected. But I also started turning my attention to, well, I think one of the only ways forward is communities, is coming together on land as a community and going back to the old way where we're looking after each other, providing for each other, protecting each other, and becoming self-sufficient so we're not relying on the food chain. And that's where you and I connected again over the Parents with Questions communities and things like that. So that's, as I said, a long story, but that's as quick as I could make it. And here I am. Basically, I'm devoted now all day, every day. I'm just working for anyone who wants to talk about money and freedom. I heard a really good saying on the weekend that I'm now using my professional skills as a form of activism. So rather than being out there protesting and things, which I just, I don't think the protests are getting anywhere anymore, then no one's listening. But I can do a lot better for everyone by, sitting in my office and giving advice on what to do with your money.
Thank you. And thank you for your work so far. I mean, I agree. The empowerment that comes with people understanding their money and their wealth and what's coming and managing through that is invaluable and so necessary right now and so rare. You know, like it's so often I hear financial advice from general sources that is kind of like nothing's wrong. It's all normal. Just go ahead and keep doing what we've always been doing. And I'm like, surely that can't be a smart move given that everything's changed. So
absolutely.
From that point of view, like in some ways, Cass, it feels normal out there again to some extent. Interest rates are hiking up a bit, but life is kind of back to, you know, you look around, you go, everything's kind of what it was in some ways. But what's really going on in your mind? Like, in your opinion, I guess, are we in a crisis? Is there some sort of big crash coming? Or what do you see or foresee is happening right now or about to happen?
Yeah. So I guess if you've got blinkers on, which unfortunately, maybe 60 to 80% of Australians do, you think everything's gone back to normal. But if you're looking for the signs, we are nowhere near normal. You just have to look at the price of petrol, the price of food. You go into the shops, there's empty shelves. Like they try and make it not so obvious because they bring all the stock to the front. But if you look at the stock behind and the empty shelves, like we went to get eggs last night, there was the whole egg set section was empty. There was only about 4 or 5 packets of the containers of 4 left. Start to see things like that. You start to see the interest rate rises impacting. Like the number one headline every single day now is, you know, families that are getting kicked out of their homes because they can't afford the rent or the interest anymore. Single mothers with 3 kids living in a 1-bedroom caravan. It's just, if you're watching for those signs, it's coming thick and fast. And there's no end in sight for the interest rate rises. It's completely illogical. I know economics through and through. They're saying they're increasing interest rates to stop us spending. We're not spending. Everybody's holding on going, oh my God, but they're still increasing interest rates. The inflation is coming from the supply chain problems, not from Australians overspending. So increasing interest rates isn't going to help that. Increasing interest rates is just going to destroy more Australian families. So when you try and put it all together, and I said on another podcast, and actually it was on Instagram and we were live, and when I said this, we got cut off. This was the first time this guy's Instagram channel had been cut off in the middle of a podcast, because I said there are only logical explanations for the interest rate rises that the Reserve Bank Australia economists are completely stupid, which I don't think they are. They're very, very highly paid, highly skilled economists, or they're doing it on purpose. They're the only two explanations, which doesn't look good for what's coming down the line. So I've been actively trying to warn people that I believe the share market is going to be the first thing that will crash. And then after that, it'll be property prices, mortgage rates going through the roof, people losing their properties, foreclosures, and then food supply issues. So this is probably the next 1 to 2 year plan, but I believe the share market will go first. And the relevance for that, and this is where Freedom Financial Solutions started exploding, because I started speaking out about superannuation. So when I say the share market's going to crash, a lot of people go, oh, well, so what? I haven't got any shares. And I go, well, don't you?
But you've got super.
Don't you know your entire superannuation is in the share market? And people just look at me like, what? I said, yeah, look at your statement. Because a lot of people I found, because I've been doing superannuation for 20 plus years, so many people don't even look at their statements. Some people don't even open them. Other people just open them and file them. I said, pull that out of the filing cabinet and have a look at what you're invested in, and it's the share market. Same thing happened in the GFC. In the GFC, when the market crashed by 50%, people, particularly those that were nearing retirement, checked their superannuation statement and went, what do you mean I've lost 50%? It's because they were in the share market. So I then started talking about self-managed super funds, which became much more popular after the GFC. They've been around for 20 plus years, since 1999. But after the GFC, a lot more just common Australian mum and dad average people who realised that they could lose half or more of their super started moving to self-managed. Then I started speaking out about self-managed during on the rallies and the demonstrations and just saying, get your money out of the share market, out of superannuation, put it into self-managed superannuation and buy, in my opinion, the only safe assets for what's coming is gold, silver, property, particularly like the community property like you're doing, Adam, property that you can have food supply. So I don't recommend just your standard residential investment property. It's rural property for the reason of the food supply. So yeah, my whole way of thinking, everything I used to do over the last 20 years has changed, and now it's gold, silver, and rural property, and perhaps what we call commodities, like if you need a water tank for food supplies, or if you need a garden shed to put some food in and things like that. So commodities, because they're increasing in value so quickly, or increasing in price so quickly because of the supply chain channel. So get those assets, gold, silver, rural property, and assets that you need for food supply. Yeah, it's depressing times, but then you've got to think, you know, I'm not all about depressing and oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It's more about, okay, well, let's plan for what's coming. You know, if I'm wrong, if we're all wrong and the world goes on fantastically, but you've got yourself a rural property and some food, some tractors, so what?
It's not a bad position anyway, right?
Yeah, not bad. So you haven't really got anything to lose by preparing, what do they call, prepare for the worst, plan for the best?
Plan for the best, yeah. And look, let's be honest, rural property, I'm not going to make the whole podcast about buying farms here, but, you know, it is the fastest growing real estate asset in Australia right now is rural property, as far as like what I've read. You know, it's actually a really good place to invest because it's solid and it has a commodity coming off it that no one's going to get sick of, which is food. You know, there's a lot of big money going into buying farms now.
No, isn't Bill Gates the number one farm owner in the world now?
Yeah, and I think
Ray if he's Dahl, doing it, there's got to be a reason for it.
Exactly, yeah. Talk to us about super. A lot of us, myself included, never really thought about this much until obviously the last few years. The ethics of where our super is invested, I think, is worth mentioning up front. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's another reason why well, in my opinion, and I should have said right up front, I'm not a financial planner anymore. This is all my opinion. But the superannuation system itself is one of the biggest rorts in Australia. I mean, you can rort it in a good way. And if you don't rort it yourself in a good way, you're getting rorted by them. So what I mean by that is your superannuation is mainly invested in BlackRock and Vanguard and iShares and a few other big major corporations that all then in turn own each other. And then they all in turn are owned by the likes of Bill Gates and all of the elites. So you are directly funding their plan. The Australian government has also turned around and said that they're going to put pressure on superannuation funds to dedicate a certain amount of the investments towards Australian infrastructure, which on the face of it, you go, wow, that's fantastic. That's a really good idea, because why should all our superannuation be going offshore? So they're bringing it back onshore, which is great, except they're dedicating it to building the smart cities. So your superannuation is in Vanguard and BlackRock and the likes, and the Australian component of it is coming towards funding the smart cities. I think anyone listening to this probably agrees that's not really where you want your money. The other problem that I have with it is it's what I call a digital asset. So you look at your statement and go, okay, yeah, I've got 120,000 in superannuation. Oh, yeah, it's in Vanguard, BlackRock. What does that mean? Is that 120,000 sitting in a nice little, you know, safe deposit vault that you can go and get it when you retire? No. Yeah. It's a digital number on a digital screen that goes up and down daily. And if the market crashes, it's gone.
Mm.
And in terms of the market crash, there's a lot of experts, not just myself, but really, really important experts, particularly from the US, are saying that we're heading into the biggest crash in human history. The biggest one was in the 1920s, where the market crashed 80%, and they're saying it's going to be bigger than that. So, yeah, all in all, if you want to protect your wealth, get it out of that system. If you're over 60 and retired, you could possibly just take it all out of superannuation, but there's really good reasons to keep it in the superannuation system itself for the tax consequences, but get it into self-managed. So what a self-managed super fund is, it's still superannuation, it's still got all the tax benefits, but you manage it yourself. And a lot of people are really surprised to hear that you can manage it yourself and you can put it into rural property. You can put it into your Parents with Questions shares, and you can put it into gold and silver, which you can physically hold yourself at home. So if the whole world falls to pieces, where do you want your money? On the share market where it's going to crash, or in gold and silver that you hold yourself? You can bury in your backyard, you know where it is, you've got it. And then also the rural property options. So there's no downsides. I've said about self-managed for the last 20 years, it's like I'm selling steak knives, because there's all these benefits. And there are no cons. It's the best system there is. And now you can get it into assets that are really, really valuable for your life.
It's exciting, isn't it? When you really dig into it, you go, wow, it's an untapped resource for most people. And I think, though, the barrier for most of us is a whole bunch of, let's call them preconceptions around why you can't do that with self-managed super. Do you want to give us your opinion on some of those, or what, you know, the realities from your perspective on how you access self-managed super?
Yeah, firstly, just throw all those preconceptions straight out the window, because you can do SMSF. Everyone can do it. Average mum and dads, young people, old people, middle-aged people, everyone can do it. If you Google self-managed super funds, the only negatives you'll see on Google is the complexity and the fees. So let's addressing them. The complexity, so Freedom Financial Solutions, we set up purely for SMSF setups. I've got a team of people here, we're back in Canberra, and it's all we do all day, every day. So yes, there's paperwork involved. Yes, there's things you've got to sign. A lot of it's DocuSign, so you're just clicking buttons on a computer. There's things you need to do, but 90% of the complexity is handled by my team. After filling in an order form, in 6 to 8 weeks, you can have your super in a bank account that you control. And people are blown away about it. The feedback we get, the positive reviews we get, they're like, oh my God, I never ever thought I'd see my super. I always thought of something out there that I'd never get to see. And now it's in a bank account. And I can hop on internet banking and buy gold or buy Parents with Questions or buy whatever I want myself. And people are blown away by it. And so throw that complexity out of the window, because the whole, our job is to handle the complexity. Your job is to sign the things we give you and have a basic understanding, which I do a lot of educational videos. Every week I'm releasing new videos. And then the other thing was fees. So that's also a misconception, because if you have more than about $150,000, an SMSF can actually be cheaper than the fees you're paying those external providers.
Mm.
So the external providers, some of them disclose the fees, most of them do not. They're not even telling you what they're charging. There's underlying fees in the portfolio, normally about 1 to 1.5%. So if you had $200,000, for example, you're paying $2,000 to $2,500 a year in fees that you don't even see. They don't even tell you. So the SMSF can be cheaper. The only time it's more expensive is if you have balance less than $150,000. So a lot of people listening will go, oh, well, yeah, I've got less than that. But an SMSF can have 6 members. So you can put husband and wife or partners, adult children, friends, like-minded people, colleagues, community in together. So that doesn't take too long to get to that balance of $150,000, and then it all works out for you.
So you can get up to 6 people together, and they have to all invest in the same thing and agree to sort of follow the same path, or what's the...
Yeah, they do. So we've had some SMSFs that have gone up to 6 people. I tend to say, look, stick it around the 2 to 3 to 4 and make it preferably family, but it does also work well with friends that are really close and really trusting, because the only catch with it is you have to invest in the same thing. You can't say, well, Joe wants Parents with Questions Farm and Peter wants just gold. But if you come into Peter and Joe come in together and say, yeah, I'm happy with a part share in Parents with Questions, part share in gold, part share in silver, the SMSF buys them and everybody owns a portion. Okay. But it works out really, really well. The only catch to it all is you've got to have some IT, a little bit of IT literacy, or someone that can help you, because we do send things by DocuSign. You get a Macquarie bank account, so you need internet banking. Mm-hmm. You know, just the basic level of internet and IT capacity. You don't have to be a whiz, but you have to have some basics. So we have had some people that, with everything that's going on in the world, they've thrown their phone away, thrown their computer away. They don't want any contact with any electronic devices.
Yeah.
I'm like, oof. You know, if you're in Canberra located where we are, then perhaps we can do it, because you can come into the office every time you need something done. But most of our clients are Australia-wide, and you're going to need to be able to do some things electronically.
Yeah, gotcha. Just for clarity for those listening, Cass has referred to a couple of times to the Parents with Questions shares. That, just for clarity, that's what we're referring to there is the family farm concept, which is the opportunity for families to co-own a share of a farm, which is, we can offer more details at the end of the podcast. But just to be, there's no shares for sale in Parents with Questions, just for clarity.
Yes, yeah.
So for that one. But the family farm is a concept where we're about 150 to 200 families are co-owning land together and farms together. In many cases, through their super and self-managed super. So I guess just on a bit of diversion here, but when you put someone through this process and they end up going from, you know, financially a bit unsure what the hell's going on, and suddenly they've got their own self-managed super and they might be into gold or land or whatever, as you say, what's the emotional ride like? What do you see for people, for families who go through that process?
Yeah, look, some people go through it really, really easily. Some people really go on an emotional roller coaster, because they go from the highs to the lows to the, oh my God, this is so exciting, to, oh my God, this is so hard. Oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Our team in Freedom Financial, where I've recruited specifically all from the Freedom Movement, Mary Jane, our office coordinator, office manager, her background, she's been in government and a whole lot of things, but she was running the Millions March against mandatory vaccinations. So she was running all of that, like, Australia-wide. She's my 2IC, and all of the staff as well. We're all like-minded. So some of our job is a bit of counselling, a bit of being on the phone going, no, it's okay, it's okay. You know, think of the end goal. You know, I know it's hard, it's complicated, you've got to sign these things, but at the end goal is you've got your money in your control. So we do a lot of hand-holding when people are having the emotional roller coaster. And yeah, just keep the end goal in mind to getting control of your money. And then the end result normally is people just are so overwhelmed with thanks for what we've done. And then the other thing also, because I guess money and health are two very, very, I guess, tender issues for some people, a lot of people, almost everybody probably. So there can also be a lack of trust. It can be like, well, what am I signing? Are you getting, you know, are you, Catherine, or my team, are you going to access my money? How can I trust that this is all going to work? And I think that's really important. If you're doing self-managed, make sure you are working with a firm that you can trust and that's been around a long time. Because like with everything that happens in the world, new firms pop up. Oh, we'll do SMSF. And then you look in the background, you know, they were set up 3 months ago and the managing directors, no one has ever been heard of before. Whereas, yeah, I've been doing it 20 to 30 years. You can Google me. There's 10 pages of Google of all the things I've done, the awards I've won. I've won the Telstra Business Woman of the Year Award. I've been around a really, really long time. So, yeah, you can know that if I was stealing people's money, there'd be a few bad reviews and I would be in jail. And the other important thing is to work with a firm where we don't touch the money at any stage. So some super providers do, and there has been scams where people have signed their super over and the money has rolled over and gone straight to an offshore account, never to be seen again. So you got to make sure what you're signing. And so with our firm, we have no access to the money at any stage. And that's really important to make sure that, yeah, you're dealing with someone who does it that way.
Yeah, well, that is good advice. That would be destroying experience, wouldn't it, to hear, you know, see your money disappear?
Yeah, there was a firm that set up and they set up a website that was very similar to a website of another firm. And they got going. I think they ended up defrauding $1 billion or more, went straight overseas. So the tax office, as much as we all love the tax department, they've put in a lot more checks and balances now so that it has made the process of setting up an SMSF more complicated on our end. We've got many more hurdles and loops we've got to jump over. But in a way, that's a good thing because the tax department became aware of that scam and now they closely scrutinize SMSF setups. So trustees or clients doing it will even get a call from the tax office saying, you know, do you know your super's about to be rolled over? You get text messages from the tax department. There's a rollover request on your super. If ever you get one of those requests and you're not doing it, pay attention because it's a scam and someone may be taking your money. So, yeah, the tax office are making it more difficult, but it's a good thing. It protects the clients.
Yes, and you may not have an answer for this, but we've mentioned investing in land and farmland and the food system. And that's typically, you know, outside of the scope of most people, you know, for average Joe, buying a farm, even managing a farm and all those things is tricky. So it's, you know, there's a price barrier there and there's the management of it and we don't know anything about it. Other than the family farm concept, which we mentioned, what we're doing, what other options are there for people to get into land ownership using the super they do have available?
Yeah, so it's a couple of different structures. A simple one is just six members in an SMSF. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say they've got 150 each, six members, that's quite a lot of money. You might be able to buy a farm outright. Six members could also borrow to buy a farm. So if they only had $500,000 together, they could borrow $300,000 and buy a farm. I'm not really recommending the borrowings at the moment, but if you've got a really strong financial position to cover the interest rates, that may be an option. There's another one that gets a bit more complicated, but I've helped people do it. And that is multiple SMSFs with multiple members, 20 people, 30 people, all come together and a unit trust buys the property and everybody, all the SMSFs invest in the unit trust. Then another way is there's a lot of communities coming out of the ground. So we're running one here. This is where I am in beautiful Queensland today. I escaped Canberra yesterday and, you know, we've got 140 acres and people are buying 1 acre off us and we're setting up a whole community here. There's about 35 people or 35 blocks and people have come together and bought the blocks and we are getting the agriculture going. We've got 130 goats. 20 sheep about to deliver babies. So that's another way. And we're basically almost sold out. There's one or two blocks left, but probably they're already gone. Maybe some coming up. Mm. But people are looking at our model and starting to do a similar concept. There's one up the road from us at Natural Bridge in Queensland. There's one in Victoria in the Yarra Valley. And there's other part people looking at this concept and doing the same sort of thing. So, for example, with ours, it was $150,000 for a block. So a mum and dad with super, that made it quite affordable. They could get this block. Technically, and you'd know with the family farm issue, you're not meant to get any personal benefit in your SMSF.
Yeah.
So the people buying the rural blocks like this, you know, technically they can't live on it.
Yeah.
But they can put a container home on it. They can rent it out. And, you know, if the whole world falls to pieces, who really cares where anyone's going to be living, you'll have a bug out option.
Yeah.
So yeah, that concept of the communities is really kicking in. More and more people are just realizing we've got to go back to grassroots.
Mm.
We've got to go back to growing your own food and, you know, going to a market stall every week where you bring your produce, and if you've got too many potatoes, you swap it with someone who's got a baby lamb. Yeah. You know, we've got to stop our reliance on the corporates, because yeah, they're not looking after us. They're only looking after themselves.
Just on that, look, agreed entirely. This is why we've done what we've done, obviously. But the structure behind doing what you're doing, can you give some insight on that for people who want to dive into that?
Yeah, so the unit trust is one structure, but we didn't go that way, because in the unit trust structure, there's another community that's close to here where they've come into trouble because more than 50% of the unit holders decided to sell. And then all of a sudden, everybody's turfed off their land. Mm. So we went a different structure where we've got a holding company that holds the whole project, the whole land.
Yeah.
And then people buy their acreages on a 99-year lease.
Okay.
And that 99-year lease is rolled over three times, so it's 400 years of ownership. Who knows what will happen after that? I don't think we'll really care, because it'll be long gone. So that gives people the security that they've got their lease and it can't be sold out from under them.
Gotcha.
They've got that for 400 years. They can on-sell it. They can pass it on to their beneficiaries. So they've got their plot, and then the rest of the land. So we've still got 100 acres free, mm-hmm, and that'll be used for the gardens and the cattle and agriculture and things. So that's the model that we arrived at, and we think it's the strongest model. We do have a sort of service where we are teaching people to replicate this model if people want to do it. We had plans to, like you're doing, Adam, you're trying to get a lot of them, which is fantastic, of the family farms, which is great. We were planning to do the same, but like I've done this one and I'm just like, I'm just tired. I just want to sit here and play with the baby lambs. I don't want to do any more. Mm. We probably will, because it's a calling that we have to do this for people.
Mm.
But having said that, we're more than happy to start teaching other people to do it so that we don't have to do every project. Other people can take the idea and run with it.
Yeah, good on you. That's great. You know, making the IP available, I think, is to teach others is important. Because there's a lot of us out there want to do it. We get approached a lot saying, oh, can we do it this way? Can we do it that way? And I'm like, we've only got so much capacity. So the IP, how we do it, is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just sort of on a round-off note, Cass, look, thank you for all these insights. It's really, actually, one thing I do want to say is this as a reminder for those listening is that, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a project on your doorstep like what you're doing, Cass, and what we're doing with the family farm, and it's suitable for you, by all means, go down that track. But vast majority of us listening won't have something available. It'll need to be created from scratch. And I think a lot of us, and I think I'm looking at you and I know myself, we get to that point of going, you know, the leaders aren't doing it. No one's on this shoulder doing it. No one on that shoulder's doing it. It looks like it's me.
Yeah.
There's a calling here for people to say, you know what, I'm going to be the initiator. I'm going to be the person that steps up, whether you're someone who's never done that sort of thing before or whatever. Most of us haven't. There's a leadership role to create these sort of projects. And I think that's just want to throw that in, is that, you know, the more people who take up, who get activated to see this happen, the better around Australia at the moment. Mm. As you said, then we stop relying on Coles and Woolies and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably adding on to that, Adam, I know you've been through a bit of an issue and I have as well. If you are involved in a project like this and the leaders are just doing their best to try and help other people and offering amazing opportunities that a new concept and they weren't available before. We've used our intellectual, used our mind and come up with something that we believe in that we think is really going to help. Go down that path with them and take what you've got, be appreciative and really respect what the leaders are doing. If you disagree with what they're doing, walk away. You know, you've had an attack, Adam, I've had an attack. Walk away. Don't try and bring down people that are just trying to help others. Someone talked to me about the tall poppy syndrome in Australia, and he put it a really good way. He said, Australians are really good at supporting the underdog. You know, people like you and me, Adam, that are trying to do something, people are supporting us and helping us and, you know, praising us for what we're doing, putting our neck on the line. But then when we do get to a level of success, people want to cut us down so they can support their next underdog.
Yeah.
Look, don't do that. People like Adam and myself, we've just got our neck on the line. We've got our heart open. We are hand on heart just trying to do the best for people out there. Like personally, the project here in Queensland, I don't profit from at all.
Mm.
I'm working tirelessly almost every day on the project. I don't benefit from it. But we're offering an amazing opportunity for community. And that's, we've got to come back to looking after each other, as I've said
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? The way I sort of see it, and as you said, we've had a bit of pushback. We had to make some, you know, some difficult decisions recently, which weren't always popular. And I sort of see it as people are so disenfranchised with the government, or, you know, they've been sort of let down by the institutions they've grown, they've trusted all their lives, and then get disappointed in that or let down or betrayed. And then they go and follow someone else in the freedom movement or jump into another bandwagon and get disappointed in that when they don't agree with it. And the point that's missing in the middle of that is looking within and going, you know, rather than looking for leaders outside, you know, who am I turning up as, and am I leading something of my own? And I think this abdication of responsibility can be a really tricky thing to navigate. I certainly don't sit here and say I've got all the answers and don't make mistakes, because I can promise you I do, and don't always make the right ideas, the right calls. But, you know, we're in a disruptive startup type environment, as you pointed out, Catherine. You know, these things are all brand new. They're new ground. We're navigating complex issues with no real roadmap. And to some degree, we're disrupting old systems. That's always going to be dynamic. It's always going to be messy. Looking for an institutional feel about that is almost impossible. You know?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Uncertainty. Yeah. That's interesting times for all of us, you know? With all the work you're doing, particularly with empowering people financially, what's the legacy piece that you hope for? What do you hope to see in the next couple of generations as a result of your work?
I would hope that people realise that they've got to just take more of their own control over their financial situation, rather than sitting back and thinking someone else will do it for me, someone else will look after me. You got to take some of your own control, not rely on the government handouts, and look after yourself. Because the scariest thing to me, I think, is seeing the path that the world is going down. Those of us that are really open to it know what's coming. In my opinion anyway, we're going to get to a point where they want to crush the system. They want to crush Australians. They want to crush the economy. They want to crush the share market, property market, everything. We will own nothing and be happy, apparently.
Mm.
Well, the biggest thing that scares me is that I think a lot of Australians, and particularly the way they're brainwashing the younger generation, is that when they crush everything and then they come back and go, oh, yeah, but we'll build you a smart city and we'll give you $7.50 a week and you won't have to work. And my biggest fear is that a lot of Australians will go, oh, that's great. That is my biggest fear. I've got four children and I raised them on the beach at Ulladulla, and they are wild, free-spirited. Thank God they didn't listen in school. They were complete rebels. So hopefully they're not listening now, because my fear for that next generation, my daughter was talking to me about it yesterday, the Apple product where they've brought out the goggles and you can just sit in your chair and do all these things through the goggles. They're programming us so that everyone's going to be happy sitting in an apartment building, living in a virtual reality and getting food delivered to the door. Instead of being where I am, out in the beautiful nature and the forest and having the goats and the lambs and reality of nature. So my biggest fear is that Australians will accept the destiny that is being presented to us and go, yeah, that's great. So that's probably one of my heart moments for my children and the next generation, is to educate you on that it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. We can choose a better way. And hopefully enough of us will, that they won't get their way, and we'll be able to create a better reality.
And I think part of that is, I've always said this, you know, compliance and comfort are really what's been weaponized against us, and conformity and comfort to me. Like, you know, what you just described, being outdoors and growing food and being on a land and being free, that's also gritty and uncomfortable and, you know, cold and it's hot and it's, you know, it's not air conditioned and virtual reality and controlled either. It's got that uncomfortable back to reality kind of feel to it, which is something I think we've all managed to lean away from the last number of years. And it's leaning back into that and realizing that, you know, life is not designed to be always comfortable, and neither, it's kind of boring when it is, you know, it can be just that conformity of, oh, well, I get my paycheck, do as I'm told, sit in the room and do as in my 15 minute city. I mean, can you imagine a more boring life versus what you just described? No. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's see if we can make it happen, Adam.
Certainly giving it the best shot. So, yes, thank you for everything you're doing and for your time. Just wrapping up, Freedom Financial Solutions, how do people find you? What's the best way to, you know, get to explore further self-managed super and everything?
Yeah, so Freedom Financial Solutions, our website is Freedom FFS, Freedom for fun's sake. If you just Google Catherine Smith or Cass Smith Accountant, I'll come up as well. On our website, there's contact pages that you can contact us. A lot of information you can download, frequently asked questions. On YouTube, Cass Smith, I've got a whole host of videos on self-managed super and how it all works. So yeah, you can find us quite easily. We have capacity. We've slowed down a little bit from the craziness we had last year. So we've got capacity to help you out. Just get in contact and we'll go from there.
Cass, thank you so much for your time today and thank you so much for your work. Really appreciate it.
No worries at all. You too, Adam. See ya.